Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
That final play call by the Chicago Bears, what did you think about it? You feel like they got a little bit too cute with that play action and throwing it into the end zone when they should have run the ball instead?
I think they were trying to get someone in the flat. It was just a two-level pattern, someone in the flat, Swift, which they took away. So he's kind of forced it, though, to commit. He had him early. He just held on to that ball a little long, and that gave Nixon, who's got a lot of speed, a chance to undercut it. He made a great game-saving play. But I did like the call allowing Caleb to get onto the perimeter to use his legs. He's done such a good job of that all season long. Give him a little run-pass option. In the end, Green Bay just made the game-winning play.
But did you like the direction of the play? Maybe it should have went to the right instead of the left. Gabe Ramirez here with you on 670 The Score. Bears lose to the Packers 28-21. And for the rest of the day, we are talking Bears football. Of course, it's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Ton of great stuff today on 670 The Score. Of course, starting with myself, handing it off to Dustin Rhodes at 5 o'clock, who will then give it off to Mully in the Hall. And they have three great guests that you're going to want to check out. Olin Cruz jumps on at 7, TJ Edwards at 8, then Brad Biggs at 9, then Raheem Harris and Grody at 11-1. They have Anthony Heron and Dan Wiederer, respectively. And then Spiegel and Holmes, they got Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock. But I am here for you, live and local overnight, because somebody's got to take care of you. It's not going to be your wife. Might as well be me. I'm going to listen to you. You know, you're going to go home and try to talk to her and she might not want to hear what you got to say about the Bears. Me, I'm all about it. And I want to ask follow-up questions. So, again, let's go out to the phone lines. Let's go to Ryan out in Oak Forest talking about this Bears game. All right. So with this team, I feel like the reason why I'm so perplexed, Ryan, is because I'm trying to figure out, like, how I'm trying to gauge them, right? Like, what measuring stick I'm using? Like, do I measure you as the team with a first-year head coach and a second-year quarterback? Or do I say, nah, you're 9-3, so I want to hold you accountable to that standard? Which one should it be?
I mean, look, Ben Johnson, he's like, you know, in the draft, they talk about blue-chip players, right? Well, first of all, where have you been, Gabe? It's nice to hear from you.
Hey, you know what, Ryan? Your boy needs some sleep. You know what I mean? I can't do it all the time. I got three kids.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ben Johnson, he's like a blue-chip player that gets drafted first overall, but like from a coach. So we really can't really look at him as like, oh, he's a first-year head coach. And Caleb Williams is pretty darn good, too. And it's like, I get it. We're all older than the players for the most part, but we got to start thinking like them since this team is really starting to feel real. We can't keep thinking about the past and how much we've lost to them. And we surely can't be talking about feeling proud of this game or moral victories before the Eagles game. right? I mean, this is a team that's a top dog in the league, and we lost because our weaknesses tend to be slow starts, and there's a big lack of chemistry between Caleb and DJ Moore. I mean, the guy was open to run it in, and I mean, I'm supportive of our QB, but I also love this offensive line, and I know they're protecting better than to have Caleb running around so much. You know, and on the flip side, all of our sacks, they tend to be off of great coverage. There's no instant heat, and QB
can
step up in the pocket. Yeah.
That's a great point. I mean, you bring up a bunch of them, actually, Ryan. First, you know, Ben Johnson is a first-year head coach, and I am holding him to that because I do understand the decision-making is different, right? I know, you know, I've been using the analogy of, you know, being at a job for the first day versus, you know, a year later or 6 months later. And I think, you know, the same thing holds true as a head coach because, you know, a lot of times, and I've dealt with this before even in my own profession where, you know, I've been the producer of a show and the third mic, right, like the third host, and then I become the main host. And it's, and even though I've been in a room, Ryan, and I was like, I would look at the main host and be like, dude, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you do that? Like, what the hell? Why, how come you can't remember this thing? And then when I sat in the number one chair, you start to realize like, oh, you didn't do those things because there's a different level of pressure, right? The amount of decisions you have to make is sped up. So I understand that, you know, Ben Johnson's a blue chip coach, so to speak, but there's still nuance things that you have to learn and that you can only learn when you're actually on the job, right? Whether it's timeouts, challenges, you know, crucial decision making on fourth and one. So I will do that. You said you can't be proud of the team. I do understand that as well because they are here in the present. But I mean, you know, they're battling. At least they battled. They didn't get embarrassed. I had a lot of people that had the Bears losing by two scores. You know, I know the line was at seven for a very long time, so it was a push for a lot of people. And for those people that got it at 6.5, obviously they were happy there. But it is the slow starts that you mentioned that are damning the Chicago Bears, right? Even Ben Johnson said, you got to get that first down to have prolonged drives. And the Chicago Bears, you know, first drive, it just, you know, wasn't enough when you're looking at the first quarter of the game. It would have been good to just put some pressure and see what Jordan Love would have looked like had the Bears jumped out to that initial lead. You know what I mean, Ryan?
Yeah, it is a little odd how, you know, as good as our offense has been, without, you know, those first 15 plays that everyone talks about, it's just, it hasn't really started off popping. And that's why they give us the nickname the Cardiac Bears, because, you know, we got to kind of get everything done last seconds.
Yeah, I think there's a stat where, like, the Bears were one of the better teams in first quarter scoring, and or, like, the most points in the first quarter or something like that. I'll have to look that up. I have Tyler Ferring. I'll check that out. But here we go. Let's see. Bears. Okay, Bears are seventh in the league in first quarter scoring. So the first 15 plays haven't been, you know, all that bad. I think what we can agree on is you're not doing it against the better teams, right? And I think that's the margin for error for the Chicago Bears is slim when you're playing the top teams in the league. Another thing you said, Ryan, that I thought that was really good was the lack of chemistry between Caleb Williams and DJ Moore. And this is something that's been apparent since last year. And I don't know if it's because the wily veteran and DJ Moore, and then, you know, you got the rookie and Caleb, and DJ had a relationship, obviously, with the previous quarterback. So I don't know if that's what it is, but there is no way that Romo Dunze is not playing and DJ Moore only should get three targets or one catch for minus 4 yards. So I think you can look at that under a microscope and try to pinpoint what the issue is there. I don't know if there's a level of comfort or trust, or maybe he just, I don't know what it is, you know, but there's definitely something there that I can't necessarily pinpoint between those two.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, being in a relationship and you could just feel like it's just not going to work and you kind of have to hedge your own emotions and just leave. And I think as good as DJ Moore is, as talented as he is, I think we got to trade him this offseason if that's going to continue. I mean, that was a game-winning play that he could have had. And, you know, it sucks to see such a careful quarterback throw a game-losing pick.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks for the call, Ryan. I appreciate it. Listen, DJ Moore has been a 1,000-yard receiver everywhere he's been, every year that he's been in the league. And then all of a sudden, he comes to the Bears and his productivity kind of dips a little bit. And I'm sure he's frustrated. And that's valid, right? You are a top receiver in the league, and you're not getting the targets or the productivity to continue to prove that with this squad, especially with Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams, where you think he would be thriving in that sort of environment. But something needs to give there. And I don't necessarily think the answer is trading away DJ Moore. I think if you look at a lot of teams, even the Green Bay Packers today, right? If you take out Jaden Reed, if you take out Romeo Doubs, if you take out Christian Watson, if you take out one of those, then the unit doesn't perform as well. And I think the Bears, with Roma Dunze, DJ Moore, Luther Burden, I think you need the unit to be talented at all three spots in order for the offense as a whole to have the level of output that you want. At least that's what I think in my mind. And low-key, I like DJ Moore. His wife's Puerto Rican. I'm Puerto Rican. He's Jamaican. I don't know. I like him. I think he – let's not fool ourselves. It's DJ Moore. All right, let's be very clear. We're not talking about some regular-ass wide receiver. This is one of the best wide receivers in the league over the last five seasons. You know, so it's like we got to find a way for him and Caleb to be able to coexist in this one. But let's go back out to the phone lines. Hear what you got to say. Are you proud of the team? Do you think that the Bears can beat the Packers in 2 weeks when they come here to Soldier Field? Let's go to Roger out in Niles. Roger, good to talk to you again, man. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Gabe, I'm glad to hear you tonight. The offensive line has an issue when they go to pass coverage. Caleb's running for his life almost every time he drops back. The run game, the coaches made some good adjustments at halftime, so the running game looked pretty good in the second half. But every time he drops back, man, somebody gets through there. Couple guys get through there. They tried that double reverse once, and they got cut off before he even, just as soon as he had the ball. So I know everybody's happy, but there has to be some changes in the offensive line. I agree about DJ Moore. It was sad that Rome couldn't go yesterday, but I'm very proud of this team. I didn't expect 9 wins this year. Hopefully they'll still get a couple, 2-3 more maybe. And I do think that the game in 2 weeks will have a different outcome. So poo-poo on all the naysayers. I think Ben Johnson's done a great job. The defense still gave up 28 points yesterday.
Yeah.
So it's an all-around loss. It's not – I'm not just going to lay this on Caleb's shoulders. And while he's running for his life, he's made some really good plays while he's running for his life. But you got to admit, in the first half of that game, the offensive line did not do their job.
Yeah, I mean, listen, let's be very clear, Roger. I mean, listen, we can't look at it in a vacuum. We have to look at who they're playing. You're talking about a Packers team that is fourth in the league in total defense, right? When it comes to passing yards, they're sixth in the league. They only give up 186 yards per game. And so the reason for that is because they do have a stout front four. They can create pressure with just that unit. And they don't necessarily blitz a ton. So, you know, you're talking about a Bears squad that, let's be honest, they haven't faced the creme de la creme of the NFL this season. So this is probably so this is probably their biggest test. And I think sometimes you just need to feel it, sense it, and also have that level of believability that you can withstand it. And I think that's what the Bears – I think that's what the takeaway from today was for the Bears. I'm sure they go into that locker room, and I'm sure Ben Johnson is saying, or at least he should have, do you guys feel like you played your best game? Do you feel like – you gave it your all. Do you feel like you left some things on the field? Good, because in 2 weeks you get to face these guys again and clean up all those mistakes.
Exactly. Well, and the last play call, you know, the old rule is when you're on the road, you go for the win. When you're at home, you play for the tie. So I think he was thinking in those terms, we got to go for it now. I know we left a couple of timeouts, you know, unused, and I mean, you understand? I think some of the mentality is we got to win this game now. And I think that's what it was. I think that was the play call. But, you know, my wife and I are hardcore Bear fans. She's a great sports fan. And she said, go for the first down. You still got 20 seconds and two timeouts.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, I think they got frazzled a bit by not converting on the third and one. You know, Kyle Manunga, three straight runs. I'm sure Ben Johnson assumed that he'd be able to pick it up, call another timeout, the second one, and then have one in his bag and have about 20-something seconds left to have four or so plays to continue to push down and then still have an opportunity to get a first down. But again, we've had a lot of conversations about Ben Johnson, the first-year head coach, right? This is the first time that he's been in these situations. This felt like a playoff game. Right, this one felt it had that vibe. So you're getting Ben Johnson for the first time in this type of environment on the road at Lambeau, in a game where, and I pointed this out, Roger, as well. You know, after the Packers won, they celebrated like they won the Super Bowl. They were out there cheering as it felt like that was the greatest victory that they ever had. And this is supposed to be against a lowly Bears team. Right, that's not supposed to be in this predicament, but they felt that they needed to win this game so badly to prove to themselves that they belonged. And I think, you know, the Bears initially kind of, you know, deer in headlights, kind of the moment was might have been a little too big for them from the beginning. We're talking about three possessions and three punts in the first quarter alone. Right. So I think it might have been a little too big for them. But like they've been doing this season, they settled down, got right at the ship and put themselves in a position to, you know, be in the game in the last couple minutes.
Oh, I agree. Listen, one last thing.
Sure.
I got to any of the guys that are listeners regularly and overnights, man, I miss Les Grobstein. Not to slight you.
No.
Man, it would have been great to hear what Les had to say after the game tonight.
It would have been for sure, Roger, and I appreciate the call. And just so everybody knows, you know, we do have our Les bobblehead here, who is right in front of me. So whenever I go on the air overnight, you know, I always try to give Les a little bop on the head so he could be here with me. You know what I'm saying? Because he is. Could you imagine what he's saying right now? I can't do a Grody impersonation, but I'm sure it's something along those lines. All right, but let's go back out to the phones to hear from you, because that's what it's here for, man. Gabe Ramirez, live and local, overnight here on 670 The Score. Just like Les used to do, he's doing you a service, right? So that way you can get things off your chest while you're at your third shift, while you're heading to work, while you're dropping people off, maybe you're just getting home from the bars.
Some of you Packer fans are classy, but for some of you obnoxious scumbags,
wow,
I got one thing.
Did he fart into the thing? That was great. See, that I got to get confidence like that, because I always try to be politically correct on the show, and I guess I should be a little harsher to people. All right, let's go back out to the phones where I am nice. Let's go to Joe out in Oak Forest. All right, Joe, you see a game like this, a lot of people say, you know, Bears are playing with house money. What say you after a game like this one?
You know, I was expecting a hard-fought battle. We both have, like, decent offenses this year. It hasn't been that way for, what they say, like 50 years. We had two offenses that had accumulated this many yards and had been doing this good. So, I mean, we haven't had a good Bears-Packers showdown in a while. But you are right. I feel like maybe the moment was a little too big. I mean, we do have a lot of young guys out there that are starting. Maybe they weren't ready for the Lambeau lights, because it gets serious. And I mean, you obviously know I've been a Bear fan my whole life. I bleed the orange and blue, you know. So it's like it means a lot to us, and it means a lot to them too. So maybe they were a little bit overtaken by it.
They were juiced, Joe. They were juiced all week long. They were tired of the Ben Johnson slander. They were tired of the Bears being the darlings of the NFL. This is a team that just got Micah Parsons, that is going all in on this season, and all anyone could talk about is the Chicago Bears. They wanted to shut us up. They wanted to shut everyone up. So they had the chip on the shoulder. The Bears didn't. The Bears were supposed to have the chip on the shoulder, but not in this game. And it was clear from the very beginning that they wanted to do something.
I totally get it. That's what I'm saying. It felt like we had the talk behind it, but like once you get there and you're standing there and you're in Lambeau, like they might have just had like a reality check. Maybe they had a little bit of the like, oh shit, here we go, and maybe they weren't ready for it. And like you said, like it did have that playoff like mentality to it. But the one thing that I don't get, and everybody keeps talking about like slow starts. Why are we not utilizing our two tight ends to start the game?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Joe. And I know I love the fact that you were so comfortable with me that you felt like you can curse casually. It didn't even pick it up. Like, he cursed and kept going. That's cool. I appreciate that. But let's, you know, watch that one. Listen, the 12 personnel is there. You see the Bears run 13 personnel a lot with three tight ends, you know, where they put the two tight ends in the backfield. You saw it a lot. I think what Ben Johnson is dealing with in the present is you have a guy who, as most would consider, is an offensive guru. And he's, you know, throughout the course of the season, he's been able to assess what his strengths are. And I think it's pretty clear what Ben Johnson thinks the strengths of this offense are. It's not Caleb Williams, or else you'd see a lot more dialed up. What you do see is him leaning on a seventh-round rookie running back. He's like, oh, DeAndre Swift, you can't pick up 2 yards? Don't worry. I'm going to let Kyle the Masher Manungai in here and just pound the rock 4 yards at a time. I don't care if it's a 17-play drive. This is my best asset. And Ben Johnson knows that. And I'm sure he gets frustrated with this offense. And again, it's his first year. Look, I love a 17-play drive as much as anybody else. You grind it out, you stay on schedule, you play bully ball. And what did it lead you to? A 21-21 tie in the fourth quarter. You couldn't have asked for anything better. It's unfortunate that the defense gave up a touchdown right after that. But I want, like, at the end, Ben Johnson, when he starts pounding the rock three straight times, a Kyle Manungai, it's, are you happy with overtime? You did the 8.5-minute thing. You bled the clock. Was after Caleb Williams had a 27-yard strike to Luther Burden, a 24-yard strike to Devin Duvernay, then you start running the ball three consecutive times. I'm here for it, but you take the ball out of Caleb's hands in the red zone. It's like on 4th and 1, if you just line up and sneak it in. I mean, listen, you can play, you know, protect the tie or, you know, football, right? But you can do that. It's just Jordan Love. There's just so much there, right? You just can't outthink yourself on with 1 yard to go on what some would consider the season's biggest snap. You got to get up, stay consistent. There's just a lot there from this Bears team. But again, you have a first-year head coach who's learning in his first playoff environment, you know, as a head coach making sound decisions. You heard him say it. This is the same play that got us a touchdown against the Eagles. Rolling to the left. Feeling extremely confident in that. Oh, it hurts. It hurt. Now I'm hurt a little bit.
Not the same situation, but similar circumstances too. I look back at those couple of run plays in a row, and I look back at the Washington game. Remember how comfortable he was riding the tails of DeAndre Swift, more in particular, but the running game period to set themselves up from about
in the red zone.
Yeah, go from the 40-yard line to the 20-yard line. Maybe he looked back at that too, but again, as much as it pains me to say, Green Bay was a little bit more ahead of them in that instances today.
Green Bay was the better team.
Because remember, yesterday. Gabe, Baby T hates the Packers.
Baby T hates the third person. Baby T hates the Packers. This we know.
First person, Baby T does too.
Excuse me. First person, Baby T hates the
all
Packers.
All persons, Baby T hates the Packers.
All Baby T's hate the Packers.
All Baby T's hate the Packers. This is a painful one. It sucks.
Again,
it's a painful one though.
Again, you know, the Packers were just the better team yesterday, and they should have been. If the Bears would have won, I told my wife, I said, if the Bears would have won this game, the word Super Bowl would have been so like casually thrown out of people's mouths. 10-3 after beating the Packers, you beat the Steelers, you beat the Eagles, then you beat the Packers. Like, this city, God probably did it on purpose because he thought we would have probably burned the city already at 10-3.
It's like
sitting atop the division.
One of your questions would be, the Bears are fill in the blank.
Yeah.
If they win that game.
Well, let's go to the phone lines and ask our next caller that. Here to take your calls is Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday, presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Cannot wait to take your phone calls again here live and local for you so that way we can get your thoughts. Let's go to John, one of my favorites out in Memphis. John, welcome to the show, man. Good to talk to you.
All right. How you doing, Gabe? Can you hear me?
Oh, loud and clear. I'm ready for this.
All right. Yeah, just, this one really hurt. But in 2 weeks, I believe we win because Ben Johnson, he's not sleeping right now. Some of us are sleeping.
Let's go! John, you just got me hyped up right now because I believe you. Ben Johnson's not sleeping right now. Ben Johnson's watching tape. Ben Johnson is watching tape right now in the lab. And he's like, babe, I'm not coming home tonight. Get the pot. Declan Doyle, offensive coordinator, bring your ass to Hallis Hall. We got tape to watch. He's like, Dennis Allen, bring your ass too. Man. I want you. I'm hyped up because you're right. I hope he's listening. I hope he's listening, John.
I hope so. Is he a fan of the show?
I can't. He okay. doesn't follow me on Twitter, John. He doesn't follow me on Twitter. But give me some more thoughts about this game. What were some other takeaways that you have from this one?
Every week it continues to be the drop passes. You know, like if you can, in my book, I used to play the game, not at this level though. But if you can touch that ball, you're supposed to catch it. You're supposed to catch
it. Which player are you talking about in particular? What player are you talking about?
I want to say it was, I can't pronounce his name, but it was probably 14 or it was.
Alamide Zaccheaus?
It could have been Burton III.
No. Alamide Zaccheaus.
Yes, sir. I believe it was in the second quarter because I'm actually looking at the film right now. You know, mm-hmm. I DVR'd the game everything. But, every week it continues to be the wide receivers dropping the ball. Now, Coastin Loveland, number 84, and Cole Kmet, you threw it in their direction. They go bring it in my book. They go bring it in, even though Loveland had that little hiccup where he almost lost the ball. Well, he did lose it, correct?
Yep. They called it an incomplete pass.
But we did recover. Okay. Well, incomplete. Yeah, it's
tough. I think what you're saying, John, right, is that they were missing Roma Dunze. I mean, that's the bigger takeaway, right? I mean,
that's Caleb's favorite target.
That's his number one receiver. That's the number one target for the Chicago Bears this year. Him not being there played a major role.
And I'm going to ask you this, since we're talking about Rome, is that foot going to be an issue, or how many weeks do we think? Or we just don't know yet.
That's an interesting one. I'm not sure. The assumption for me is that he'll be back, and they just wanted to give him that week off so that way, you know, he can heal up for the latter half of the season. But, I mean, you know, it's a foot injury for a wide receiver. It's certainly a big deal.
Yeah. When the last time going into December, we didn't have 9 wins. I'm talking about the Bears. We didn't have 9 wins going into the month of December. When's the last time?
Trust me.
As far as I can remember, it was Matt Nagy's first season with us. We went 12-4, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, you're right.
So it had to have been that season. I mean, I'm proud of us, even though it's not like a moral victory or nothing. It's just, man, it just feels good to win. At least we guaranteed a winning season. And next year, maybe we can get 13 wins. I ain't trying to, you know.
No, I hear you.
Get all obnoxious.
No. Don't be. I think we're all here for the positivity. So Roma Dunze has a stress fracture in his foot, but it isn't considered serious or a long term concern. So I mean, stress fracture sounds wild to me, but you know, if you can get him back, you know, next week. I mean, I think they'll probably give him one more week off. Against Cleveland, the assumption will be that the Bears should be able to handle business against Cleveland next week. So you should be able to do that without Roma Dunze. And then that way you get Roma Dunze for the rematch against the Packers, and then you handle business, John. I'm here for it. Ben Johnson isn't sleepy. That's the big takeaway. John.
He ain't sleeping right now.
I appreciate the phone call, man. And as always, make sure you call me back when I'm here, all right?
All right, thank you.
Always. John from Memphis, one of our regulars. And we got a bunch of regulars calling in today, and that's what it should be. This overnight, we're a family here. We got Les the Bobblehead and Les in Spirit. We got Gabe in the building. We got Tyler Farringall holding things down. And we got the regulars calling in. But a lot of people want to hear from Ben Johnson. What did Ben Johnson have to say following this game? What did QB1 Caleb Williams have to say after this one? We're going to hear from him in just a little bit, but I want to hear your calls. And the questions that we're asking today are important ones. You heard John mention it, but I wonder if you feel the same. Are you proud of this Bears team? after their loss against the Green Bay Packers, a squad that you might not have thought would have had 9 victories heading into December. You might not have thought they could hang with some of the best teams in the league, but here they were, down 7 with 2 minutes to go, in a position to tie the game. And unfortunately, they faltered via the interception from Caleb Williams, but it doesn't take away from the fact that this is a team without Rome Odunze that had inefficiencies in the first half on the offensive side of the ball, but still, like this entire season, found a way to put themselves in a position to compete at the very end of the game. Are you proud of them? And more importantly, in 2 weeks when the Packers come to town, do you think the Bears will win? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez live and local on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something out of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Anything to each other, or was it just a blow-by
handshake? Oh, just, I think, quick handshake. I mean, we'll see him again in 2 weeks, so.
It's not often where a head coach will call out another one. Any extra satisfaction with this?
No, absolutely not. It was just, I mean, it's Packers-Bears. It's a great rivalry. And certainly with what was at stake in regards to positioning in the NFC North, I mean, That's the only thing that matters.
It's Matt LaFleur talking about the handshake between him and Ben Johnson following the game. It looked very cold. I really thought, as the cameras were zooming in on Matt LaFleur as he was approaching the 50-yard line, I thought that the two gentlemen would have a chuckle. That's what I thought in my heart of hearts. I thought they'd have a chuckle about the discourse surrounding the game and Ben Johnson's comments. And it would be an opportunity for two very good coaches who will continue to see each other for the foreseeable future to just share a moment. Like, let's bring out the best in one another. To me, that's what my hope was. But they were just like, they're just two ships in the night passing. And I get it. But I do think both teams were very respectful of the rivalry. You heard Micah Parsons talking about it before the game, talking about the disrespect and so on and so forth. Then after the game, you know, said he liked being a part of the rivalry. You've heard the coaches mention it. And it's true. You heard, you know, the McCaskies mention during the interview with Ben Johnson how seriously they take this rivalry. And I think Ben Johnson understands it too. And the guys were upset about this one, you know. But it's not just about Ben Johnson. It's not just about that. There's more to it when it comes to this. And we're going to hear from Ben Johnson in just a second. Again, Gabe Ramirez hanging out with you here on 670 The Score. It's a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. Tons of stuff going on today. Of course, I'll be handing it off to Dustin Rhodes at 5 o'clock, who will in turn hand it over to Mully and Hall. And they got three great guests for you. Olin Krutz will jump on at 7. TJ Edwards will come on at 8. Brad Biggs will come on at 9. Then Raheemi Harrison Grody, they got you at 11. Then at 1 with Anthony Heron and Dan Wiederer. And then Spiegel and Holmes jump on with Kurt Warner at 3 o'clock. So all day long, we're taking care of you here on 670 The Score. But this one hurt a little bit. I mean, when you're thinking about the Bears and, you know, obviously having won 5 straight heading into this game against the Packers, there was a bit of imposter syndrome with a lot of the fan base. And each one of these games acts as a litmus test, right? First, it was the Steelers without Aaron Rodgers, but still a good, formidable defense and a run game. Pulled out that victory. Then the Eagles on Black Friday, you end up winning that one, and the conversation starts to change a bit. And as I mentioned, the Packers, I felt like, had a bigger chip on their shoulder than the Bears did heading into this one. The Bears, as most people would mention, were playing with house money. The Packers, still a point to prove. Not in first place in their division, not locking up a spot potentially locking up a spot in the playoffs at the top of the NFC. So, again, at the end of the game, you could see it. They were happy as if they won the Super Bowl. And I love it. I love it. Play the Bears with that mentality, because I want this Bears team to be hardened. I want them to be prepared for war when these last three games of the season come into play. Listen, the game against the Lions might be a win and you're in. Let's be very clear. The last game of the season might be a win and in against the Lions, where you thought, do you remember, Bears fans, what most people were saying about that game? Oh, the Lions might be resting players because they might be so ahead in the NFC North that they won't even. I know it was you, Tyler Ferengall, producing today. But that's what I'm saying. Like, everything changes. I'm going every year, for those of you that don't know, myself and my family, we take a road trip to go watch the Bears play. We've been doing it for almost 20 years now. And this year, we're going to San Francisco. I mean, come on now.
Sunday night football.
It was supposed to be the Raiders, but I convinced everyone that the tickets would be too high for that. And everything would be too expensive. And then we couldn't go to Commanders or the Ravens because of prior engagements. So then it ended up being this. Now listen, everybody's pissed about this game. And by everybody, I mean everybody in my family. Why? Because I'm flying out Christmas Day. I know. Trust me. It's not a good one. I have 3 kids. Let's not forget. But I fly out at 9:30 at night. So everybody will be sleeping by then. You know what I'm saying? I fly out at 9:30. I land in San Fran at midnight. Okay? And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the game's Sunday night. Can't wait. And we didn't realize how pivotal of a game it would be. The San Francisco 49ers are just like the Bears in that they are a team with subpar quarterback play, a good run game, and a solid defense, right, that can keep you in the games. And sustained drives is what allows them to win. And so that one's going to be – I mean, look, the playoffs have started for the Bears. Let's be very clear. Obviously, it's not a lose-and-go-home kind of a situation, but these types of games exist. So this game against the Packers yesterday was a playoff atmosphere. Next week against the Browns, they have to win that game. And this is against a Browns team that obviously Shedeur Sanders is playing well. So they have to win that game. Again, playoffs, must win to get you to 10 victories. Then you got 3 games left after that that are all playoff teams. Packers, Niners, Lions. You got to win one of those games. If you don't win in one of those games, you probably shouldn't be in the playoffs anyways against the best teams in the NFL or in the NFC at least. Oh. But again, what did Ben Johnson have to say about this one? What did he say about his team? And I will be honest, I talked about this last week on the Chicago Lead on CHSN. That's the station, brand new station with the Bulls, the White Sox, and the Blackhawks. Myself, David Hall, Ruthie Polinsky were on the show, and I said, let's not forget, Ben Johnson was extremely smug the first two games of the season when the Bears lost. Press conferences were 5 minutes long. He wasn't here for people questioning what he was doing. Then fortunately, the Bears ended up winning, you know, 9 out of the next 10 games, so we didn't have to talk to a grumpy Ben Johnson. And then David Hall was like, well, if the Bears lose by 14 points, it's going to be rough. And I was like, if the Bears lose, Ben Johnson's press conference is going to be a perfect telltale sign of who he truly is. First couple of games of the season, he didn't want the smoke, especially after getting 52 put on his head by the Detroit Lions. But what did he sound like following the loss to the Packers? That is something I want you to hear. So take a listen, get your notes ready, because we're going to discuss Ben Johnson following the Bears' 28-21 loss to the Packers.
Out of that game, pretty clean health-wise. Didn't seem like anybody of note didn't finish the game, so we should be in good shape there. Obviously, when it comes down to the wire like that and you're on the losing side of it, it's disappointing. But a lot of credit to our guys in the second half there, making it a game, down 14-3 at halftime, and yet it coming down to the last 30 seconds and potential to tie that game up, or whether it's overtime or go for the two-point, you know. So, really close at the end, but give a lot of credit to Green Bay. They made a couple more plays than us. Their offense was explosive. They found some big plays, resulted in touchdowns on us. And then, fortunately, there in the second half, our offense was able to find its footing a little bit, both in the run game and the passing game, and it felt like we had a little bit of rhythm. So, made it a game, but fell short at the end of the day. So, opened it up from there.
In the last play, what was your hope on that play call, and what was your vantage point of how it unfolded there?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of options there. I don't know exactly who's going to pop necessarily, but between the options that we have and then Caleb using his legs, was hopeful we could find a way to get a yard there.
Chance to look at it yet?
The play?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. How do you attribute the difference in the offense between the first half and the second half, and how you guys did come to life?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a really good defense. I think at home this year, they're averaging 13.5 points per game and 240 yards per game. So we knew it was going to be a big challenge. You know, you go on silent cadence against a really good pass rush group like that. They get off the ball and they pressure your quarterback, and we certainly felt that there in the first half and in the second half too. I thought Caleb was doing everything he could. He put his Superman cape on a few times to not go down, extend the play, and he found a couple big scrambles for us over the course of that game, which, you know, earlier in the season you would have said that we really had a hard time finding. But you know, I think it was Duvernay down there on their sideline, that was a huge play, and then the Cole Kmet catch down on our sideline was a huge play as well. So you know, I think we got a prideful group. You know, we weren't happy, we weren't pleased with our first half performance on offense, and sometimes just coming in and catching your breath for a second allows you to hit that reset button, and our guys responded the right way.
Ben, when you talk about the big plays that you guys gave up defensively, what kind of issues were you having in the secondary?
Yeah, that's one of those things. Again, I got to go back and I got to look at the tape. But it did seem like we were man-to-man on one of them, and their guy beat our guy. I know on another one, they seemed like they had a good play design based on our coverage, you know, and that happens at times. So I got to go back, and I got to look at some of those and what we could have done a little bit better.
And what's the ripple effect of not having Rome short-term here and how those reps get distributed?
Yeah, well, I mean, we kind of knew that going into the week that he may not be available. And so something that we're conscious of. The fortunate thing for us is we have weapons all over the place. Our tight end room is very strong. Our running back room is strong. We have a lot of depth in that receiver room. You know, I know Luther certainly had a little bit more on his plate here this week, and I thought he handled it pretty well from my perspective without seeing the tape yet. And so I don't think that necessarily we missed a beat, but yet Rome is such a vital part of what we do. And, it, you know, in a lot of ways for Caleb, you know, it's his blankie, you know, and they got such a great natural rapport that when a guy like that's out, then, you know, other guys got to step up. But yet he is a big part of what we're doing.
Do you have any kind of gut feeling coming out about how even it is between these two teams?
I mean, shoot, I think this division in general is very tough division. You know, I think all four teams are neck and neck and, you know, battling it out. And, you know, I think our guys were confident coming into the game that we were going to be able to come away with a W in this one. And we fell short. Like I said, we just didn't make a couple plays there when we needed to. And so, like I said, credit to Green Bay. I mean, it's a really good defense. I give Coach Halfley his flowers. They do a phenomenal job.
I thought that at the beginning of the fourth quarter, you guys really were blowing. The offensive line looked like they were kind of blowing them off the ball, getting like 6-7 yards a carry. What was kind of the key there?
Same thing. I got to go back and I got to look at it. Some of them felt like they were, you know, third and short variety. So I don't know if we were just hitting them in a soft spot. And I do know our backs were running hard. I did feel that. But, to your point, I do feel like we kind of picked it up a little bit as the game went. The first half, we weren't hitting at the same clip. We were probably more twos and threes than we were, you know, those fives or sixes.
Losing Kyler before the game, what kind of setback was that for your defense and your plans there?
Well, I mean, we adjust on the fly. That's no problem. That's what we always do. And so we had a plan. DA does a great job with that. Next guys were popping up, and, you know, they answer the call, and we don't miss a beat that way. But, you know, Kyler's a really good player, and we're better when he's out on the field. So, you know, you do miss that. And when it happens in pregame like that, it also takes you down a man going into the game, too. So if you know that going into the game, at least you can have someone else up on the active roster for you there to fill in and be another body, whether it's on offense or defense. So, you know, it's one of those things. It's a shame that it happens like it did, and, you know, we'll see the extent of it.
Ben, what was your first experience in this rivalry like with the environment, the intensity, and what's in your mind about circling back and seeing them again in 2 weeks?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think just in terms of playing at Lambeau, you know, this is my seventh year in the division, and I do think there's some aura that comes with playing here, you know, and competing here. I love it for our guys. There's, you know, this is what the football gods made football to be, you know, cold weather in December like this, and, you know, Green Bay, Chicago, I think that's outstanding. So I think it's awesome to have this rivalry alive and well right now, and get another chance at it here in 2 weeks.
The play that ended up with Colston scoring the touchdown in the fourth quarter, did you just walk us through kind of your vision of how that unfolded, the sequence?
Man, like, see, I can't even remember.
It looked like Theo might have been your first option in the left flat.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Yeah. So we were in goal line, and yeah, you're right. Theo was going to be number one there, was trying to go for a big guy touchdown. I was about to say fat guy touchdown, but he I think he got chopped down, and so he didn't even get out on his route. And so Caleb did a nice job popping back to Colston, and was able to find him. So it was good.
On that final pass, what's the key if Cole becomes the option there of getting the ball to him there?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost identical play from what we scored against Philly the week before. So we got multiple options on that play. Caleb felt like Cole was open, and we didn't hit it. So that's kind of my extent from the sideline. I got to go back, and I got to look at it.
Then this team has shown an ability to respond all year. What's your confidence level of the sting of this loss not lingering beyond tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you just said is entirely accurate. You know, our guys do a good job of taking, you know, our lumps from this. We'll learn from it. We'll make our corrections, and we'll move on. You know, we go right back to work. We have a process that we believe in, and the work that we put in throughout the week is so important to giving us a chance on game day. They know that. They believe that. And that's really what we'll do when we come back in. And, you know, tomorrow we'll come in and we'll clean up the tape. And then Wednesday we're right back at it. We got another good opponent coming in Cleveland. I don't care what their record says. You know, they got a damn good defense. And so that's kind of the stretch that we're in here this back half of the season is where it's good defense after good defense after good defense. And so we're going to have to step up to the plate and respond the right way.
What have the last couple of games told you about just if this is a playoff team, if it feels like a playoff team?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be a playoff team once we earn enough wins to become a playoff team. So right now we're a 9-win team, and I don't think 9 wins is going to get you in this year. So we got to do what we can to get enough wins to find a way to get in the tournament.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
One thing about Ben Johnson, he's not going to sugarcoat anything. It's Ben Johnson following the loss to the Green Bay Packers. It's Gabe Ramirez here on 670 The Score on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank in Great Clips. You heard him talk about it. I think what shocked me the most about that post-game press conference is that I was expecting something different. I was expecting a smug Ben Johnson, the same one that I got during the first two losses of the year. But as I've been talking about, this is his first time being a head coach in the NFL, and I'm sure he's learned from those moments. Learned from some bad post-halftime interviews as well. And he came out this one and said all the right things. Again, you're being very respectful to the rivalry that exists. You are going up against one of the better teams. You are being a realist that 9 wins is not enough to get you into the playoffs. You must take the Cleveland Browns seriously, despite their record, because they are a good defense, because they have Quinshon Judkins, because they have Jerry Jeudy, because they have Shedeur Sanders. You have to take them seriously. And Ben Johnson understands you have to get a couple more victories if you really want to make it to the playoffs. And it's not that the season will be all for naught, but you certainly want your team to taste the playoffs. And that's why these next couple of games are going to be equally as important. But I'm curious what your thoughts are. Are you proud of this team? Do you think they can beat the Green Bay Packers when they face them again in 2 weeks? And do you think they'll make the playoffs? Let's go out to Red from the South Side Red. I think we were all disappointed in the outcome of the game, but you know, some of us can find some bright spots. Can you find any bright spots in this one for you?
I think that what happened to the Bears is that I don't think that the team was prepared in the first half. The first half, I think they lost the game in the first half. And I always said I'm not a Kalen Williams fan. I just, he's got a long, long way to go. In fact, my brother called me and said the difference in this game is going to be quarterbacking, and then also, I think that that last play at the end of the game that was, you got a rookie coach that's learning, and then you got and then Kalen Williams is not ready. The difference was quarterbacking. And not being prepared. I don't think they were prepared in the first half of that game, and that's why they lost.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the defensive line of the Green Bay Packers certainly controlled the first half of the game, and that is whether it was via pressure on Kalen Williams or stopping the run, right? The Bears trying to establish it, and then, you know, when you're talking about the battle of quarterbacks, Red, it's a great point, right? The Bears didn't do a good enough job of making Jordan Love uncomfortable back there, right? This is a guy, when given time, can pick you apart. And what we've seen over the last couple of seasons is that if you make Jordan Love uncomfortable, he will give up the ball. And the Bears just didn't do a good enough job with that.
And what happened to the wide receivers? What happened to the Bears wide receivers? Look how Green Bay wide receivers caught the ball. What happened to our wide receivers?
Yeah, tough, right? I mean, Roman Dunze didn't play with stress fracture in his foot. Then, you know, Luther Burden getting thrust into a true starting spotlight role, not just a slot receiver. You know, that was tough. And DJ Moore, I think the reason why I'm hoping, when I go back and watch the All-22, I'm hoping that the reason DJ Moore didn't get targeted enough was because that's who they focused on. They said, okay, you have no Roman Dunze. Well, my safety help over the top is always going to be on DJ Moore. And then maybe that's where you're hoping a little Colston Loveland could have performed a little bit better. But it's about preparation. I think sometimes, Red, you got to go up against, you know, the better team so you can see what areas you're missing in. And I think that's what the Bears did on Sunday, was go up against a better team in the Green Bay Packers, and then they could look at this game and be like, all right, what are the areas we need to improve? I think it's without a doubt it's quarterback play, right? We can all agree on that. I think defensively, you know, more pressure on Jordan Love via the front four without blitzing, just kind of getting pressure there. So I think if you can clean up those two areas, then you could put yourself in a better position to win.
Yeah, and like I said, and the coaching staff has had a lot to do with this loss too. I'm tired of seeing the Bears in the first half not scoring. And it was terrible. What was statistically throwing the football in the first half? What were they in the first half? They were terrible. And you're not going to win anything like that.
How do you think the Bears are going to do when they face them again in 2 weeks?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say with Green Bay. Because remember now, Green Bay, before the season, people were talking about Green Bay could go to the Super Bowl. So it's hard to say. It's gonna be what the Bears does, how they prepare themselves. I don't know. I worry about Kalen Williams. I just think Kalen Williams is not ready yet.
All right. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Just to put it in perspective, you know, the Bears last season were only averaging 7.5 points in the first half. That sounds wild that the Bears only averaged throughout the entire year just over seven points in the first half. This year, they're actually 11th in the league at 12.3 points per game in the first half. So they're, you know, upper top half of the league says a lot about that. But I want to hear what you got to say about this one. Are you proud of this Bears team after the performance they put together? You didn't think they were going to have 9 wins before December 1st, but here they were. You didn't think they were truly going to be able to compete with the Green Bay Packers at the beginning of the season, especially after the addition of Micah Parsons. But here they were. 2 minutes left to go in the red zone with the opportunity to tie this thing up after playing poorly in the first half. So are you proud of this team and the performance that they put together against the Green Bay Packers? Do you think that the Bears will win in 2 weeks when Green Bay comes to Soldier Field? And last but not least, you heard Ben Johnson mention it. A 9-win team isn't going to do it in the NFC this year. Do you think the Bears are going to make the playoffs? 312-644-6767. It's Gabe Ramirez right here on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday. And we'll take your calls next right here on 670 The Score.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.